1210 Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron.
With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports, KOKK. It is a quiet weekend for high school athletics in South Dakota. No athletics yesterday or today as they make way for Fine Arts Weekend. All-State Choir, All-State Orchestra being held in Sioux Falls. Rehearsals yesterday, grand concert is tonight. So again, sports takes a backseat to Fine Arts for this weekend. We can look ahead, though, as the state high school football playoffs will hold their semifinal round next Friday. That includes the Huron Tigers hosting the Appier Governors next Friday night. Will be a 7 o'clock kickoff, 6:30 pregame on Tiger. On the other side of the bracket, number 4 seed Sturgis is at top seed Yankton. That's also a 7 o'clock kickoff on Friday night. In 11AAA, it's number 5 seed Harrisburg at top seed Brandon Valley and number 3 seed Sioux Falls Jefferson, number 2 seed Sioux Falls Lincoln. Both games have 6 o'clock kickoff times. In 11A, number 5 West Central is at top seed Sioux Falls Christian, number 3 Lennox defending champion, and number 2 seed Del Rapids. They both have 7 o'clock kickoff times. In Class 11B, number 3 seed Clark Willow Lake is at 2 seed St. Thomas More. That's a 7 o'clock central kickoff. No kickoff time listed yet for number 4 Duel at top seed Elk Point Jefferson. For 9-man, 9AA, number 3 seed Parkston at number 2 seed Elkton Lake Benton, 7 o'clock. 5 seed Hamlin is at top seed Freeman, Marion, Freeman Academy. No kickoff time listed there. In Class 9A, 4 seed Phillip is at top seed Wall, 7 o'clock central kickoff. 7 seed Howard is at number 3 seed Alsetzer Hudson, also a 7 o'clock kickoff. And in Class 9B, number 4 seed Falkton is at top seed Del Rapids St. Mary. That's a 3 o'clock in the afternoon kickoff. Del Rapids St. Mary and Del Rapids Public share a field, so St. Mary will go afternoon. And number 3 seed Coleman Egan is at number 2 seed Avon, and that is a 7 o'clock kickoff time. And again, all of those football semifinals will be next Friday. Meanwhile, the volleyball postseason will begin for Class A and Class B teams beginning on Monday with region play. Among area teams, the most interesting region is certainly 1B, where 3 of the top 6 seeded teams in the state, not in the region, but in the state, are all in one region, meaning only 2 of them will advance to the SODAC 16. The top seed in the region is Northwestern. Warner is the 2 seed, and Hitchcock-Tulare is the number 3 seed, so a potential Hitchcock-Tulare-Warner matchup would be looming on Thursday, provided that both teams win their semifinal match in the region on Tuesday. Among other area regions, Miller is once again the top seed in Region 6A, and Wolsey-Wessington is the top seed in Region 2B. Again, those Class A, Class B regions will begin on Monday. One other note to pass along, Tiger Roar Booster Club potlucks for fall sports will continue. None coming up this week, but next week on Tuesday, November 11th, football has their potluck beginning at 6:30. Then the following Monday on November 17th will be the potluck for volleyball, again beginning at 6:30, Tiger Roar Booster Club potlucks. Coming up this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, we'll hear from Joey Mitchell, Executive Director, Nordby Center for Recreation, as we're in the month of November, and he'll talk about the activities coming up. James Valley Christian Vikings won a boys' state soccer title 2 weeks ago. Talked to their head coach, Jory Whiff, about the journey to a state title. Actually began last year when they were state runner-up. We'll also visit with Josh Lean, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball, while Class A and Class B volleyball are in the postseason. Double A teams have one more week to go. The Tigers play Tuesday at O'Gorman, Thursday at home senior night. with Brandon Valley. And it'll probably be a week from today, later in the day, before the matchups are out for that AA SODAC 16. Coach Lean, we'll talk about this past week. Just played one match. In fact, two matches total in the last 2 weeks. And what's ahead here with a very tough schedule to end the regular season. And we'll talk with Drew Strand, head coach here on Tiger football. The Tigers, as I mentioned earlier, have advanced to the semifinals of the state 11AA football playoffs, hosting Pierre on Friday. That's our Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up at about 6 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
First up today on Dakota Sports Saturday, we talk with Joey Mitchell, Executive Director of the Nordby Center for Recreation, our monthly update as we get set for activities in November. And I guess a general theme, and this kind of goes back to October as well, youth basketball. You have a lot of different opportunities and things for kids to take in.
Yes, exactly. And like you mentioned, we kind of play with the seasons or the schools, how the school transitions, I guess, or the carryover from there. So, yes, a lot of youth basketball going on. We have basketball options on Sunday. And youth on that one is 6th grade, actually, through 12th grade. So even a high schooler that's just, I mean, maybe done with season coming up here, that's something we have coming up on Sundays as an option. It's local, and it's in the afternoon. And then also for youth-wise, we have our basketball camp on Thursday afternoons after school. We start with the older 4th through 6th grade at 3:45, and then the younger kids come in here about 5:15 or 5 o'clock, and that's kindergarten through 3rd grade. And if there's still one to sign up for that, it's still some room, but there is a lot of kids in it right now or currently signed up. But that shows that there's a good, a good atmosphere or a good little backing on the town, and people are excited about basketball this year.
And turning colder, but hey, no problem. You're indoors. Swimming lessons, a new round starting up.
Yes, our swimming lessons will be finishing up, coming up at the beginning of the month, and then we'll have a new lesson starting on November 8th. Registrations actually will start this next week at the very last part of October. And then, yeah, we offer lessons, youth levels 1 through 6. And then we do have a preschool level option. And just with paperwork purposes, we do have to have some paperwork done on site. So registrations are done on site.
And overall, just getting into November, the holiday season as well, I guess I'll save that for the end here. But other than that, your usual programs are going on right now for adults and, of course, for kids as well, if they're looking for other options.
Yes, we have all our classes still going on. We have classes in the water. We have classes in the land. There's karate classes for adults. Our youth karate class did fill up, but there's tons of other things going on. Pickleball is obviously a big hit right now, and that's for all ages. And just as you mentioned, the weather changing, more and more people are coming in here playing pickleball. So it's getting played all throughout the day, early in the morning, you know, over lunch hour, in the evenings. So again, the gym's very busy with those things.
And we'll just wrap it up with this, dare I say, but we can start thinking about the holiday season as well. And always, you have options for people who want to give the gift of health.
Yes, absolutely. We offer gift certificates and memberships, and that's, you know, what better gift to give than that. So you're exactly right, Jeff.
Joey Mitchell, Executive Director for the Norby Center for Recreation. Events coming here now as we approach the month of November. We have a full Dakota Sports Saturday coming up. State Championship Soccer, Cross Country, and Football all coming up on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Norby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Norby Center. Join one of Huron's best kept secrets, the Norby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Welcome back to Dakota Sports Saturday. We're talking with Jory Whiff, head boys soccer coach at James Valley Christian. The James Valley Christian boys took the Class A soccer title with a 2-0 win over Freeman Academy back on October 18th. Vikings were runner-up a year ago to Vermilion. Vermilion scoring late to win. And coach, I guess first things first, kids were on a mission, plain and simple, this year. They were so close last year, returned everybody. They knew they could make the drive, and, well, they accomplished it.
Yeah, whereas last year was a process that culminated in playing really well at the end of the year. It then led to some expectations for this season that we could find our way back to that final game. That was certainly one of the team goals that was set this fall. Not every game was inspiring all year long, maybe, but they certainly played consistently pretty well. They turned the bump on the road at Freeman Academy, the lone loss, into what seemed to be a renewed focus. So I think maybe they did the harder thing this year in managing the expectations, maybe the target on the back, and being able to play well through all of that, and just trying to continue to get better, and maybe not letting the weight that could have been those expectations become too much.
Well, you look at that championship match, you win 2-0 over Freeman Academy, both goals coming there kind of late in the first half and really not that far apart as well. And, well, the defense just made it hold from there, shutting them out the whole game, including that second half as well, because obviously Freeman Academy kept you guys under wraps as well there in the second half.
Yeah, a little bit of a slow start for us, it felt like. Then the game kind of evened out, and then I thought maybe the last 20 minutes or so of the first half, we had them under a lot of pressure and on their heels, and had a lot of good opportunities with some corner kicks and free kicks. And Noah found a ball that had rebounded a couple times from a couple of other opportunities at his feet, and a quick release sent that into the back of the net. And then a few minutes later, Gavin played Carson in the middle, and he was able to beat one guy and get that second goal. And that's a big deal. It's always good to play from the front, but especially up 2-0. Just a little bit of comfort there when you're playing. You don't want to make the mistake, but you could make one mistake and still be okay. The win, though, I think maybe was more of a factor than we realized at halftime, perhaps, because in the second half they kind of had us playing defensively a lot. I don't have stats for time of possession or anything like that, but felt like we were a lot, but we were super stubborn defensively, and just proud of them for how they played defensively.
And that's the one thing, too, kind of poetic justice there, perhaps, that, you know, last year you said your focus for a lot of the season was on the offense, getting things set. But then this year your primary focus, at least to begin the year, was defense. Well, defense ended up winning a championship there in the second half.
Yeah, actually, I would say last year my focus was defense because I knew we had to get better at it, and we just played offensively really well, and the defense, came around towards the end, and this year they sort of picked up where they left off. Another goal was to allow 15 or fewer goals in the season, and that seemed pretty ambitious, and with a few games to go, it seemed unlikely that we might do that, having allowed 12 at that point, but six straight shutouts to end the season was pretty impressive. 12 goals allowed is actually the fourth fewest in team history. It's 37 fewer than last season. Eight shutouts is tied for the third most in school history. Those are just some trivia things, I guess. But very impressive how they ended the season defensively. I thought in that final we were in the right spots all day long. There were a couple of miscommunications. There were a couple of balls misplayed, but always people in the right spots to help. To make life hard for Freeman's strikers, at least making them do the harder thing, being on maybe on their left foot instead of on their right, just being a little more uncomfortable. I thought we did a really good job of those things.
And, when it all wraps up, as you said, six shutouts to end the season, a lot of that goes to Jonah Niederbommer, your goalie, but yet a solid defense in front sets up your goalie. I mean, every piece is working together to make that happen.
Yeah, and that's, like I said, even when a mistake maybe was made, the people in the help spots were in the right places. And you saw his save at the end of the game when it ended up in a one-on-one situation. Just a big save to preserve that shutout. The stats say he only had four saves, but all four of those balls were headed into the back of the net. And so they were all important, and certainly the guys in front of him played well. Isaac Wythe and Colby got a lot of high praise from opposing coaches as the middle of our defense, just making life hard on people. Their activity and athleticism, willingness to win out of the air, was super important for us. And Monty and Luke's speed on the edges, there weren't many people faster than we were going to be back there. And that's a great place to start. So if you're in the right spot and you have some of that ability, you're set up pretty well.
And really, you and I were talking before we started here, just because I kind of wanted to know the last 15 years or so, James Valley Christians had a nice little run getting some state titles. You had a club soccer title, I believe you said, in 2010, 2002. Before that, there was a state boys basketball championship, a cross-country championship, a boys golf championship in 2019. That could have been a back-to-back if there had been a season in 2020. Now 2025 soccer, for a small school, is kind of nice. We can different sports, but yet we're finding kids that can really excel.
Yeah, we've been super blessed in recent history. In the small school, of course, you need the athletes to do lots of things, and for the most part they do, and they're finding success in multiple activities. And it's a fun discussion to have to talk about where to hang another banner. So,
talking to Jory Wythe, head boys soccer coach for James Valley Christian, as they take the Class A championship last week with a win over Freeman Academy. You did have three players named to the All-State team. I know when you're coming off a team championship, you just feel like, well, every guy should be on there. But Noah Fast, Gavin Waldner were first team. Then Isaac Wythe was honorable mention. Well, it's a great honors for those guys. They also know they didn't do it by themselves.
Yeah, Isaac Wythe came to us as a freshman and played outside that year and then moved into that sweeper role. And it's just so helpful to have a big, fast, athletic kid playing back there. Colby's, I think, probably a six-year letter winner, I believe. Just super active, lots of energy, lots of activity, communicates. I think he's probably underrated in terms of his impact in the middle of the field. And Noah's grown a lot. He's also started since he was in seventh grade, but just was able this year to handle the physicality of the game a lot better as he grew and got stronger. And you could see that in his play. And he's kind of the glue in the middle when it comes to our possession and generating our offense. And so, yeah, well-deserved for those guys. Isaac Whiff was first team last year, actually, too. And Gavin, of course, I think this is his third year on the All-State team. He got a lot of attention this year. Maybe wasn't quite as healthy as we would have liked, but still a super dynamic player, and the other coaches recognize that. Very unselfish. He's in the top four or five in our school history in assists. I don't know if people realize how unselfish he is because they see the goal scored and the athletic ability. But just really appreciate, of course, the impact that those guys had.
And wrap it up with this. You came into the season with expectation after last year's run and finishing second, and with basically bringing everybody back. Expectations are one thing. Meeting those expectations are another, and he's going to be tickled the way these kids came out and just took care of business.
Yeah. Been around long enough to know that none of this is guaranteed, no matter the talent level you might think you have. And so, like I said earlier, for them to have managed those expectations and to have performed as consistently as they did all year long, I think is super impressive. And, sure proud of them for that.
Jory Whiff, head coach, James Valley Christian Boys Soccer, the Class A soccer champions this year back on October 18th. A 2-0 shutout win over Freeman Academy, coming a year after a state runner-up to Vermilion. We'll be back on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We are back on Dakota Sports Saturday talking with Josh Lean, head volleyball coach for the Huron Tigers. Tigers had their second consecutive one-match week on Tuesday, went down to Mitchell. Colonels came out with the sweep, although two of the three sets were 2 points, meaning they were close, including one that went over. So first things first, Coach, you know, here on Mitchell, doesn't matter what the sport is, there's going to be some intensity out there. We're also in the new facility, kind of fun to take a look at that. Give Mitchell credit. They came out, I think they were ready for a matchup with the Huron Tigers.
Yeah, well, they were ready. I think we, you know, I hate to say it, we help them out a little bit. I you know, as I was looking at the stats in the locker room after the game, you know, we had somewhere between 30 and 34 errors on our side, and the kind of errors that are really unforced, right? You know, hitting the ball out of bounds or into the net and is one, and then missed serves is another, where, you know, we're not even asking Mitchell to really do a whole lot. We're going to score the point for them on their behalf at times. And not that volleyball coaches expect athletes to be errorless, because that's fairly unrealistic in today's game with, you know, trying to score by tooling off the block, and, you know, you're aiming for their hands in some regard to try to force the ball out of bounds from their touch, those kinds of things. But, you know, the end of set one when we were battling, can't remember the exact moment, but, you know, we have a moment to close out the game, and, of course, I think we went two consecutive serves out of bounds. We were really, you know, struggling with some confidence there. At that time, but they definitely took advantage of those errors and those mistakes, and you know, you wish they wouldn't have had to deal with that, but we gave it to them at times. So now, that's not saying we didn't battle. You know, what's difficult to recover from is the fact that we did give them that many points and we're still inside of two sets you know, with two sets, 2 point difference. So outcome could have been different, but unfortunately it isn't, or it wasn't, so we don't get those points back by any stretch. But moving forward, we're going to continue to play with that level of confidence when it comes to can we play with a top five team like Mitchell. We absolutely can. And so proud of the girls' efforts. We really they came to practice this week, this last week, you know, really ready to go and ready to continue to improve. And so we're looking to build off, you know, even though it wasn't a win, it was a momentum. We came off several consecutive wins leading up to that. And we know as we look at who we have to prepare for moving forward, more top five teams. And so looking to play well against good teams, and that's where we want to be going into the SODAC match in a couple weeks.
You know, that's what I thought, too. You know, maybe a little uncharacteristic with some of the things we did on Tuesday, but on the other hand, a one-match week last week, another one-match week this week. So girls have had more practice, less competition, but, you know, that changes next week, and probably a good time for that to happen. Not only have two matches there wrap up the regular season Tuesday, Thursday, but great teams at O'Gorman, then home against Brandon Valley. You said a couple of top three teams. So, you know, the best way to be ready to go in the postseason is to play the best. So hopefully the girls respond to that next week.
Yeah, and there's a couple very specific things, right, when we look at those two matchups that will help prepare us for a SODAC match, whatever that SODAC match is going to be. We know, you know, O'Gorman comes at us with a left-handed right-side hitter in Mackenzie Welsh, who's top-notch. And so... lining up with a left-handed hitter, you know, working on our blocking angles and our defensive strategy against that is really going to be key against her, you know, and against a potential left-handed opposite in a SODAC match, if it boils down to what the seed points are starting to look like now. So that won't be energy lost, right? We're going to go ahead and continue to focus on that. We're gonna play against a team who serves really well. Well, that, you know, you look at Brandon Valley and they've got what I would argue is, you know, something similar to us, where they're gonna drive you deep at the service line and then they're gonna drop one short. So if your eyes aren't tracking the ball early, they're gonna beat us up in service receive. And so Brandon Valley is gonna give us a really good opportunity to perform in that, with that mentality, which again, I keep saying, is going to lead us down the road into a good SODAC match, because we can only assume whoever we're going to play at SODAC, I would suggest, probably isn't going to be as good of a serving team as a Brandon Valley. And so if we can just tighten a few of those things up, and next week with the short turnaround time, I think our girls are, you know, going to, the effort's going to be there, the focus is going to be there. And right now, when I think about things that we're doing well, our two outside hitters are scoring points against good blockers right now. You look at, you know, Mitchell, both their right side blocker, the right side hitter blocks well, their setter blocks well. We're going to see that in O'Gorman. We're going to see that in Brandon Valley, and we can assume we're going to see that in a SODAC match. So they're playing well against good blocking right now. When I think about what Chloe Carr is doing right now, she's stepping up and we're getting her hitting hand up really early, our elbows high. And she's really running to that back antenna on those slide routes and starting to hit that ball with a lot of pace, and finding holes. And that's going to be something that we can expose over the next 2 weeks to continue to improve on. And so our point scorers are making really good decisions right now. And so that those are things, now again, minus the errors, we gotta continue to work on playing hard without giving up points. But those are things that are really gonna benefit us in the long run. And so, you know, I think about, though, Gensy's doing a good job distributing and keeping things on balance. Now, Gensy also knows that the balance is good until we hit the red zone, right? The last 5 points of the set. And then we have to really make sure our best hitter in their best position with their best swing is where the ball is going to go, even if the other team knows that. So really proud of the maturity and the growing up some of the kids are doing right in front of our eyes right now, giving us the best chance to be successful against good teams.
Can talk with Josh Lean, head volleyball coach here on Tigers. 1 week left in the regular season. You know, you and I were talking a little bit about what the SODAC looks like. We're really not going to go into that now because there are just too many things that could potentially happen here. There's still matches a week from today, November 8th, before the regular season gets over. What we do know is what we do know, and that we will be on the road. It's just a matter of what the matchup is, and hopefully, you know, get the matchup we want. And the best part is you'll have quite a while, you know, at least 5 days to prepare.
Yeah, so we, like everybody else, feels like it's going to come down to about three different teams. And without going into that necessarily, as a coaching staff, we have to start preparing with things that are going to benefit us, you know, and certainly we can find some things that the opponent, it will work against all opponents, right? Certain shots that our kids got to hit, certain serves that we've got to be able to execute, certain routes our hitters got to run. We're going to continue to do that. And then at the end of the day, you know, the coaching staff and I, we're going to be okay with whatever matchup is because it's not in our control. There are some volleyball matches that are going to happen, you know, all the way up to a week from today, next Saturday, that are really going to impact the outcome of who we're going to travel to. You know, in our opinion, closer is better, right? So that way our crowd can show up to support us. But it really doesn't matter at that point. We'll go wherever the schedule says, and we're going to play as hard as we can against that opponent. And do we like different matchups for different reasons? Yeah. Are we scared of anybody right now? You know, not. We're fighting for that 12-13 seed. I think if we can stay in the 4-5-6 range, who we play, whatever team that is, I mean, again, as long as we stay out of the top three, I think we've got some opportunity there. And can we be a sleeper on the bottom side of the SODAC? I think we can. I think the girls know we can. I think when I look at the South Dakota standings right now, we're maybe even the only team who's, you know, on the bottom half of the SODAC that has plus in points scored versus points scored against, right? So we are as competitive as anybody between that 4-8 range and feel like we've got some chances. And so our seniors are being seniors right now. They're doing the things they need to do to help us be successful. Our underclassmen are growing up every day. And we've had a good week of practice, right? We just got to keep our legs underneath us now going into next week and really focus on are we there mentally? Both are we mentally strong to be able to do what we need to do, and are we mentally prepared for our opponent to give ourselves the best chance to be successful? And that's what the coaches and I are focused on, you know, for the next 5 days.
Josh Lean, head volleyball coach here on Tigers. Tigers are at 9-11. They close out the regular season Tuesday at O'Gorman, then Thursday senior night at the arena with Brandon Valley. Both matches on the air on Tiger. We'll talk here on Tiger Football to wrap things up on Dakota Sports KOKK.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday talking Huron Tiger football with head coach Drew Strand. The Huron Tigers in the semifinals next Friday hosting Pierre for a trip to the Dome. That after a 7-2 win over Brookings on a Thursday. And coach, you know, I think this past Thursday's game, one of the tougher ones to play. You know, we had a great regular season, but then you go back 0-0, and the advantage you have was playing at home. And while the kids allowed Brookings to hang around when the plays were needed, they were made.
Yep. I mean, you know, I think our guys kind of locked in, you know, at the 0-0 record and just went into that, you know, and fought, you know, like where we were at the beginning of the middle of the season, regular season, and I thought they brought the fight back out in every single one of them, and they all played their tails off. And, you know, it doesn't matter how you get it done, 7-2, is a victory in our books and lets us keep practicing, you know, the next day, and we just move forward and gives us another week to plan for another game. And so, you know, hats off to those guys of how they came out and really showed of their culture win and where they want to leave their legacy for Huron football.
You know, and defensively, you had to be happy. Really, Brookings only had one good sustained drive. Unfortunately, it was at the end of the game where they gave themselves a chance. But, you know, the last couple of games, in fact, you got to be happy with how the defense has played.
Yep. I mean, defense has kind of been, you know, our catalyst or holds all our stuff together and been able to make stops when they matter and been able to sustain those drives and really, you know, whether it's to stop them in the red zone or cause a turnover. And I thought defensive guys are all flying around, and they were making the plays when we needed to make plays. And, you know, they didn't let any big plays kind of make or break us. And it was a huge thing for our defense to really lock in and understand that. And not having Ty Kleinsaucer in there and everyone else just kind of filling in really helped out.
You know, and he mentioned that, too, because when we played Brookings just the week before, they did hit on two big plays, and that was a big difference in that game. And obviously adjustments were made, and, you know, the kids saw, you know, this is what we did wrong, those plays, and definitely limited them.
Yep, I mean, it's a really good group so far this year, being able to be coachable and understand when we go into the film room, we're there to get work done and own up to our mistakes and really hold ourselves accountable and, you know, fix them in practice leading into our games. And so this group has done a good job of that defensively and offensively, and just our defense being able to listen and trust the coaching and make the adjustments needed so that way they're in the right spots and just really key their keys and understand that they're going to take them to the play and be able to make plays, and everyone just fighting to make the plays.
You know, and obviously the heart and soul of our defense is Oakley Anderson, by far our leading tackler. He actually wasn't in as many tackles in the first half. We did have a time of possession advantage, too. But, boy, when the numbers came total up at the end of the game, I think he about tripled what he did in the first half. But, you know, you just know he's going to be in the right spot, the right place every play.
Yep. I mean, you know, he's put in a lot of work in the offseason and over the years of, you know, starting in that role and really filling in, and definitely leads those guys around, communicates, and puts guys in the right spots. And him having to work with Cooper next to him, who usually is not around him, you know, and then having to kind of coach him up, and did a fantastic job of putting him in the right spots. And then just him kind of running around, getting the guys off balance. I know towards the end of the game, he was the one that kind of went low on that QB draw, and then it gets him off balance and lets Jeremy Hofer come in and knock it loose and put the ball on the ground for us to recover. And so just things like that of where he's always got his nose in on the play every time on the tackles on defense is huge for us.
You know, another guy, Riley Winiger, had a big interception, too, and had a nice return off. And he's almost kind of an unsung guy, both on offense and defense. But, you know, he hardly leaves the field, and, well, he showed what he can do for a team.
Yep. I mean, one of those guys with Riley is just really shows and puts the team first over himself, and that's kind of how he's been, you know, coming through the program is he's a team-first guy, and it shows out there on the field. And doesn't probably get as much recognition as possible, so it's nice to be able to give him out there. And, you know, sometimes it's better to be lucky than to be right. And he, you know, he was the guy who the tight end came from the other side, and he was in the right spot at the right time, you know, being back there and being able to pick that off and then finding running lanes to run with it, and just a huge momentum shift, you know, for us. We knew at some point they were going to try some trickery out of it, and him being in that right place and making it happen. And he's got a lot of pass deflections this season, in the regular season, and just kind of moving that into the playoffs of him just still being tough and, like you said, kind of being that silent guy we have on defense that really is a team player and does his role well.
And actually, I should have started the interview with this, but we need to go on to that final play on defense. You know, Brookings, we're back on our heels. I don't think it's you can't argue that. And, you know, they run about 10 yards and then get down to the two. You know, they were probably had one play left. But just go through that scenario. You know, I guess the main characters there, Oakley, then Jeremy with the punch out. Ben Cardona got over there, kind of shuffled it off, but Mason Juergens ended up with the ball.
Yep, I mean, right there, just when you start by listing off all the guys that are around it, that's exactly what, you know, we needed to happen, you know, and we need to happen the rest of the way to the postseason, is just all of our guys flushing around and fighting, you know, and going to the play. And that's what happened there, of just Oakley getting there first, kind of getting them off balance, then the next guy coming in and coming in fast with Jeremy of trying to pop out the ball. And then, you know, you got guys flying around over there so Ben can kind of corral it in, and then Mason finds it underneath him and grabs onto it to secure it. And that's just team, individual guys coming together as a team and working together, you know, to just playing hard. And that's, you know, one thing that I thought we lacked going into the last two regular season games of our guys. And just that whole last drive for us, we were just, you know, trying to maintain the emotions, the excitement that the kids have of, you know, we're only up seven, we got to kind of play prevent, but yet we can't let them get in the end zone. And so just an overall good job by all those guys flying around continuously and doing enough to, you know, hold them and get the ball and secure the win.
Then offensively, you mentioned doing enough. That's kind of what we did there. You know, for a second straight week now, lots of great opportunities. We're not finishing drives. Obviously, we finished one that we needed on Thursday night, but, you know, that's something, you know, I don't know if it's just a matter of execution or tightening up. And obviously, the field gets shorter as you get closer to the goal line as well. But, hey, you know, that's something, obviously, we want to see what we can change here, because probably more than one touchdown is needed against Pierre.
Yep, I mean, we got to find ways. You know, I think we're 1-4 in the red zone after that game, and we just got to come out and be more productive in the red zone. You know, a couple of times, and that's what's hard, is you don't get a lot of opportunities. So we're looking at four opportunities and, you know, two mental mistakes here where we're backed up a little further, and then all of a sudden we get stuck, and then, you know, give two of them up for maybe play call selection or not executing correctly, and all of a sudden here we are again in the same situation. So just got to find ways all around, you know, from the coaching staff standpoint of reassuring and going to our bread and butter plays that are in the red zone that we can run and be successful at, and then just kids being kids and got to execute and trust what we're calling and just kind of go for it and really put their head down and stick their foot in the ground and get in that end zone any way possible.
You know, another guy I want to highlight, too, is Landon Hulst. Did the research. He needed 104 yards going into the game Thursday night to hit 1,000. And once he did that, I think it was early third quarter, well, he ripped off a big run to open the game. But I did that, went some research, talked to Coach Postma as well, and we're pretty sure that's our first 1,000-yard runner at Huron High School since Josh Brecker in 2002, and you know he's been back there for 2 years. He even got a little time as a sophomore as well, and he's just been focused on his job this year.
Yep, I mean this year he's really kind of shown his true potential, and he's a very athletic kid. You know, we try to use him on defense as well, just because of how athletic he is. But offensively, you know, he's been our workhorse, and he totes that rock, and every time he runs hard with it, and compliments to the O-line for those guys and the work that they do, you know, to open up those holes for him. And then even the receivers the other night, I thought, did a good job of, you know, holding their blocks downfield, and Brookings does a good job of playing that umbrella coverage, so they got four guys there. So, you know, when we can get into that third level there and they have to be able to make the plays, you know, Landon's ripping big runs, and, you know, it helps us, it gets us going. When Landon broke that big run right away to start out the game, just kind of set the tone, you know, offensively for our guys, and really gives them, you know, that big energy boost and confidence boost that they need going into games like that. So hopefully we can draw up some more plays and continue to do that moving forward with him.
And as we move forward, next Friday night, the Pierre Governors come into town. Of course, we defeated them in the second game of the regular season. That was kind of our statement game at the time, too. We were 0-1 going into that. But on the other hand, Pierre, they've kind of found their stride here over the month of October. And they are not the same Governors that they were back there in what, late August, early September, whenever that game was. They ran a sophomore at quarterback on Thursday night, and he put up some big numbers.
Yep, I mean, you know, they're really looking good offensively. You know, our defense does a good job at changing up looks and doing things like that, so hopefully we can continue to do that and kind of give him some different looks so he can't just see the same look over and over again being a young quarterback. But he's got some legs on him, so we got to find ways to kind of contain him in the pocket and not let him kind of fluster out and run free. And so, you know, defensively, we just got to continue to key our keys and give them different looks so that way they don't see the same picture twice and over again. And then we just got to find ways to punch it in the red zone offensively and come away with drives with points on the board instead of leaving those empty drives out there.
You know, and when you get to the semifinals, I mean, there's no givens that you're going to play a tough team. I know Pierre's going to look at that at us as well. So and when you have a couple of good teams colliding like that, it comes down to simple things. Eliminate the mistakes, be it penalties, be it turnovers. Whoever plays the cleanest game probably has the advantage.
Yep, and that just goes back to our accountability and everybody holding themselves accountable. On our own team, whether it be a penalty or securing the ball or forcing turnovers, we just got to come out and be 100% mentally prepared and keep ourselves accountable and just, you know, fight. Like I tell those kids, they give 100% effort. I'll be the first coach to pick them up, you know, on the field after the game, and we just got to continue to go after it with everything we got, you know, and, you know, tomorrow's not promised anymore. And, you know, when you get down to the last four teams in the state of AA, every team's going to be pretty good and pretty solid. So you just got to continue to find ways to play your best and put your kids in the best situations possible to give them an opportunity at the end.
So finally here, hey, here we are, semifinals again. If I told you that back on August 15th, you said, yeah, I'll take that. We got it at home, which, you know, we haven't hosted two playoff games in a given season, probably since sometime in the 90s. So we got that going for us, the last three, four games at home. We've had huge crowds, no reason to think we can't get that again this coming Friday, get a big Tiger Nation there for the Governors.
Yeah, I mean, the kids definitely felt the support this year, you know, just going back to when they started winning games and the community started buying into them. And then this week of playoffs, going into that first week, there was a huge community support, you know, letters from kids at schools, signs on coaches' doors. And, you know, it really shows that everybody's kind of understanding and everyone's coming together for these guys in football. And, you know, I don't know if they know it as much as we do, but they feed off of that energy and they bring that to practice with them every day, and it carries into the game when they see everybody from the community members in the stands, the little kids running around, giving them high fives, asking them, you know, for autographs even and things like that. And then having the band in there, our kids love having the band here and that crowd get wild and loud, you know, and it really energizes them, and hopefully we can continue that. And it's nice to be able to do that at home so we can have more community members and band guys in there, and we thank them all that they've done this season. Hopefully we can continue to show out in the semifinal game.
Drew Strand, head coach here on Tiger Football. Tigers hosting Pierre next Friday night, 7 o'clock kickoff, 6:30 pregame on Tiger. Semifinal for a chance to play for a championship the following week at the Dakota Dome in Vermilion. That wraps up Dakota Sports Saturday. We have Timberwolves basketball coming up later today. The Timberwolves on the road. They'll be at Charlotte 4:45 with the pregame this afternoon here on KOKK. Territorial Rodeo Update brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron is next. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Time now for the top five countdown from the dusty old rodeo trail. Here's your host, Monty James.
We are taking a break this week in the standings to let the numbers come in. And since I'm a traveling man, spending about 100 days a year at hotels, motels, cabins, and brothels, hostels across the USA and abroad, I'm going to resurrect my hotel survival guide to all you folks traveling to rodeos, reunions, bar mitzvahs, and family vacay. Trust me, I paid my dues and then some with four bouts of bed bugs and counting. Sexy, eh?
Work safe, not hard. With the Daybin paddle sweep, it's virtually impossible to get harmed. And talk about performance, the Day Sweep can handle an avalanche of grain as the flexible rubber paddles move the grain gently to the pump. Used by large cooperatives and farms alike for safety, value, and quality. With virtually no grain left in the bin, thus no need to enter the bin. See this amazing life-saving invention at daybinsweep.com. That's day with two A's, binsweep.com.
All right, hotel, motel survival guide from a traveling man. The last time I did one of these, you can still negotiate an empty parking lot discount with a night auditor. Nowadays, with the advent of a little old thing called the intranet, you can actually get cheaper rates, more cost-effective rates, by utilizing apps or websites. They actually buy up unused inventory from the hotels and will sell them at a super discounted rate rather than eat them. Hotels.com and Trip.com are two of my personal favorites that I use weekly. But to scout out what veteran travelers, not unlike myself, are saying, my go-to is Trip. Advisor. I myself am a TA reporter, and most of the ratings are spot on from road warriors who spend a good share of their lives in inns. In inns.
That's tonight. I will never, ever, ever speak a word of it.
I like it. They also will direct you to the best deals and top-rated restaurantes in the area. Huge fan of TripAdvisor, and I never camp out in a hotel with less than a 3.5-star rating. Okay, well, not by choice anyway.
He don't know me very well, do he?
Here's some hard and fast tips to keep you healthy, wealthy, and wise on the road. Now, if you pull up to a hotel and see the blinds are bent or the curtains are askew, it's usually a sign that unsavory, paranoid people are holed up in there looking for the po-po out the window. You know, the "you'll never take me alive, coppa" types. It also shows that the maids don't care enough to straighten the blinds. Speaking of hotel maids, hotel care engineers, rather, if you're staying in a room for more than a night and they're making your beds and refilling your mini coffee maker, make sure and leave them a nice tip so they don't rifle through your stuff or use your toothbrush to clean the toilet. Speaking of in-room coffee makers, look them over really good before you use them. Maids have told me that during high school tournament time, wayward youth will use those cute little coffee pots as a chamber pot. Google it. I'm actually broadcasting from my favorite hotel on the planet, the Rustic Arrow Inn Hotel in the rodeo town of Broken Bow, Nebraska. 1940s cattle baron charm with all the modern conveniences and an epic watering hole and steakhouse to boot. Tell you what, I'll post pictures of this classic hotel at Territorial Rodeo Update on Facebook. If you're not a member, you needs to be. Monty James saying travel light and don't let the bed bugs bite.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
MacDon C-Series corn headers provide the industry-leading residue management in a one-pass process. MacDon's Octarol residue management system creates well-conditioned, consistently chopped, and evenly distributed residue. MacDon's Octarol significantly speeds up stock breakdown at half the time of a conventional corn header. Take your harvest to the next level at any of the six Premier equipment locations or visit PremierEQSD.com. Good luck to area teams from the farm family-owned hometown team at Premier Equipment. PremierEQSD.com.
Highs level off around 45. Today, under mainly sunny skies, westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows around 30. Tonight, partly cloudy. High of 63. Tomorrow, mainly clear skies. Daytime highs approaching 58. Monday, under mainly clear skies. 60 Tuesday.